Welcome back to Steve Goes to Broadway. This is part three of my investing adventure along the Great White Way, so called because it was one of the first streets in the U.S. to be lit with electric lights. In part one of my adventure, I wrote about my interview with Ken Davenport, a successful and well-regarded Broadway veteran producer, and I then decided to try my hand at a small investment in his latest production called Getting the Band Back Together. A few weeks later, I was entirely surprised and delighted to hear that Ken Davenport, the producer, won a Tony Award for his current Broadway show, Once on This Island. Things were now getting interesting. Would his next show about this band getting back together be as successful? Would I, a novice first-timer, be part of a great Broadway hit? Visions of Hamilton danced in my head. I better slow down and get a hold of myself. Back to the Tony Award. Well, it just so happened that I knew a talented actress who had won a Tony some years ago, and I called her and asked her if she'd come on the air to tell what it was like and how, and to what degree, it had changed her career. So, part two of Steve Goes to Broadway was created. All right, fast forwarding to the present, opening night, August 13th at the Belasco Theater in the heart of Broadway. We arrived a few days early to visit friends and family, and I snapped a pic as I Ubered to the producer's office to pick up my tickets. Now, the producer's office is right in the heart of Times Square, which of course makes all the sense in the world, but it reminded me of the small-town nature of the Broadway community. So much concentration in just a few streets and just a few avenues. Opening night was a hoot. The theater was filled with many well-wishers, investors like myself, other producers of the show, Broadway veterans and critics. More on the critics later. Ken, the producer, spoke at the beginning, stressing how the script, the music, and the entire production was entirely original, which is apparently a rare thing on Broadway these days. Lights down, and the play began with a fun song, setting up the main character and the precarious situation in which he found himself, having just lost his job on Wall Street and fretting over whether he should move home to live with his mother in New Jersey. Now, from that moment on, the play kept a steady pace of jokes, music, and comic situations, which delighted the audience at every turn. Standing ovations were the result of all this frolicking, and we all headed to Dave & Buster's a few streets over for after-party food and drinks. Actually, Dave & Buster's was a good choice, considering that the play's main characters are just regular folks living, as they say in the show, in Western, Eastern, Central, Middlesex County, New Jersey. They had a live band there, which makes total sense considering the play's title, Getting the Band Back Together, and food and drinks were plentiful and free while hundreds of people milled around hoping for a glimpse of the cast members and stars of the show, which included Mary Lou Henner, the actress from the TV show Taxi, if you remember, and many other movies. Unfortunately, Mary Lou and the other stars were cordoned off in a separate room for pictures and interviews, so I never got a chance to say hi. We hung out for a while and headed back to the hotel. Next morning at breakfast, we quickly picked up the New York Times and searched for the review. Unfortunately, the review was less than favorable. Actually, it was scathing. It pointed out many of the aspects of the show which I didn't even notice as a novice. The lighting, the costumes, the stage design, for example. Well, I thought, you know, this is the reason I got involved, to follow the ups and downs from insider's vantage point, and to see how the process, good or bad, unfurled. Luckily, there were good reviews, too, from Variety and other media outlets, but the New York Times review had a particular sting. Well, guess what? Minutes later, as if on cue, I received an email from Ken, the producer, addressing the review. Wow, I wondered, what could he possibly say about this review to all his wishful investors and actors? He got to the point immediately. He wrote, "I'll be honest, the critical response was not what we had hoped, but that said, it is also not unexpected. Our show never intended to be The Iceman Cometh. It was built to do what musicals were originally designed to do, to entertain, and to allow our audiences to escape from everything else going on in their lives and in the world. The show's audience demographics are not the same as the critics," he went on to say, "and incredibly successful shows like Thoroughly Modern Millie, Jersey Boys, and even Les Mis opened to reviews that weren't what the producers had dreamed about. Plus, he continued, there are tons of shows with great reviews that were never commercially successful. And finally, he went on to say, while initially the road will be bumpier than he had hoped, they are counting on word of mouth to get them through the slow summer season. The next day, August 15th, we received another email with a promotional picture and a request to send it to all of our friends and post it in social media. But there was more to come. The updates have been coming. Here's a highlight from an August 20th email. Quote, last week, opening week, was obviously a challenging one. A couple of performers got bronchitis and were out for a couple of shows, but now they're back. Special two-for-one tickets did raise the audience count, and a heavy TV commercial schedule, as well as a large direct mail drop, will attempt to break through those no-fun critical reviews. Well, upbeat as always, Ken is telling us that the audience continues to have a blast, and he received several emails from major industry heavyweights, including several Tony winners, telling him how much they love the show. And social media response has been terrific, he said. But now more than ever, they were working hard to get through the typically slow summer, and all hands were on deck to promote and spread the word. In addition to doubling down from traditional advertising, he said they also have put a bunch of grassroots initiatives in the works, like shooting a video of audience reaction to see if it could be turned into a commercial, inviting 100 rock stars and 500 general celebrities to see the show in the hopes of getting some social media love, exploring paid New Jersey celebrity social media influencers to support them, and finally handing out business cards at performances, encouraging people to leave Facebook reviews. Then a few days later, some bad news. Losses have been more significant than projected, and waivers and deferrals have gone into effect to conserve cash. Some good news, they're recording the cast album, which they hope will build them a merchandise income stream. So we'll have to see. So now we hold our breath, hoping to pick up some steam from the sum of all their efforts. So until next time, remember to visit stevepomerantz.com and see my posted pics from my New York trip and stay up with our Steve Goes to Broadway series and much, much more. That's stevepomerantz.com. You're listening to The Steve Pomerantz Show.